Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 14, the story that you've heard many times before, but remember, as often as we hear it, the Lord may be speaking something very different from before. Now Jesus withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. We have known about this gospel passage from the time we were little children. It was probably one of the ones that we were most impressed with. At least I was in my youth. And I always wondered what it must have been like to be there when you have crowds of people out in the middle of nowhere and no supplies except what the disciples happened to bring along with them, a couple of fish and a few loaves. And in one story, some little boy had it. I guess it's in Luke's gospel. And how it must have been for these people who sat there and experienced what we hear in the gospel story, a miraculous kind of event. And for those of us listening to the gospel, remember always that the purpose of Jesus' life, primarily, was to reveal God to us in a very unique and complete manner. And so the question behind the gospel story is, what is it that Jesus is revealing about God? One thing that always comes up in sermons about this particular thing from the miraculous point of view is that look at the generosity of God, who in the dire circumstances of life, even where people may have been put into a situation because of negligence or not thinking about it ahead or whatever we may give as a reason, God somehow provides not only enough for everybody there, but an abundance even more. And so the gospel story becomes a reflection of the wondrous, bounteous nature of God. The other part of it may also be that Jesus, in doing what he did, was continuing the message that he gives in other parts of the gospel. And that is, in the foot washing, for example, he says to his disciples, "I give you an example that what I have done for you, so must you do for each other." And also, we might look at it from the perspective of being generous ourselves, that God calls us to a generosity, not only to take care and provide for ourselves, but to provide for each other. And all of those are very, very good. However, I was thinking a little differently this week, imagine. And I kept focusing on when we were kids. And we used to picnic together with our cousins next door. There were 9 of them and 6 of us. And before we went, probably we spent more time doing what I loved about picnicking. I wasn't crazy about bugs and water and those kind of things and sitting on the rocky beach. I was interested in the food. And every time we went on a picnic, we would always take, my mother only made this when we went on picnics, and so it was occasionally we had this. She would take up a couple of cans of Spam, so when we didn't die. And she'd grind up the Spam, and she'd cut up little pieces of celery and little pieces of pepper, and grind it all together and put some mayonnaise in it, and between 2 slices of white bread, it was to die for. And it's the only thing I really, really enjoyed about picnics. The situation of bringing food to an outing, to a picnic, is something that is kind of now kind of blasé, because you can stop on the road and pick up anything you want. You can, if you run out of something, you can run to the grocery store. I remember for the ice, to keep it cool, we had to go to the ice house and get a chunk of ice to put in this container we had to keep it all cold, and the water was dripping all over the place. We've come a long way. But nobody goes on a journey without preparing for it. And I think that's not only true today, it's true in every generation, wherever. Now, you're talking about desert people. And desert people are going out into the wilderness. That's the desert. They're going away from water supply. They're going away from the comforts of home. They're going away from the security of being close by to the things they need. And they're going out to be there alone. And obviously, from the gospel story, they're there all day. So what did they do for water? What did they do for lunch? It doesn't say anything in the gospel about that. But if you know anything about Aramaic desert people living, do you ever notice in the movies, occasionally you'll see this, but mostly it's if you look at real historically correct things, you'll find that they all wear these big, long, heavy coats. We would call them dusters. And they would go out into the desert prepared for the day, because in the pockets inside of those dusters, why they would wear a long robe to begin with out in the desert, protect themselves from the sun, but it also had pockets, and there they would put the food for the day. Each one brought the water they needed. They put their sandwiches or kielbasa, whatever they had in there, they stuck it in their things, and they were ready for the day. That was their survival. And if we look at it from that perspective, every one of those people had no guarantee they were going to make it back from the desert. Of course, they all expected, as we do, you go on a trip and certainly you're going to make it back home. But they went out without any protection into the elements of the desert, and they had what they needed to survive. Now, when Jesus comes to this place and all these people are there, have you ever considered that the real miracle was not that he multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but that because he took and blessed what his disciples had brought for their survival and for his, he took and blessed it and told them to give it away, that because of that action, everybody was fed, because everybody started giving a little bit of their survival pack to the people next to them. And so when they got all through, there were all these baskets of food left over. Which, interestingly enough, you see Jesus saying something similar to what I think the point of this is in another story in the gospel, and that is the widow and the coin, where he says she put in everything she had. She gave it away. So if we're listening to the gospel from that perspective, and I dare say it's a fairly good, solid historical perspective, what might Jesus be revealing to us about God's expectations of us? She gave all that she had to survive on. These people gave what they had brought for survival. How does that, as a reflection of God's intent for us, strike your heart? I know I cannot leave the story like this for myself without thinking of the large, huge, vast pockets of starving people in the world that I can do nothing about. But my mind cannot stop but go there and say, if indeed Jesus was revealing something to us about God, then God's intent must have something to do with sharing what we have for survival with those who don't have anything for survival. And I think, too, if we think globally, and forget about politics and just look at this earth populated by all the people who exist at the present time, billions of us, who are dependent on the resources of this small little marble we live on, who somehow have so many inequities globally that keep things from happening for so many people. We call that systems. And in this, I hear God calling us to a systemic change, a change in the way of the order of things in order to live out God's wish for our world, for all people. I never considered myself a privileged person. In some ways, I've been gifted with talents and abilities I never earned, certainly. But I never saw myself as privileged. But the longer I'm alive, and the older I get, the more I realize how truly privileged I have been in this life when I look at the brothers and sisters around this world. And as we have cameras and all kinds of media feedback from every place on the planet, it becomes even heavier to consider, what is God saying to me? I come back to the revelation of God is not in the words. It's not in the story. It's what you may hear when you read the story. This is what I hear. This is what strikes me. But more important than anything else is how God is speaking to you when we read this story about Jesus, who revealed and excites us with resurrection, with forgiveness, with compassion of God, now challenging us to consider a little other piece, a little bit that may cause us to grow. And so I leave that message there for your reflection. Amen.